Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
So as we're getting started here, just to get a little bit of audience involvement, we'd like to just invite you to do a bit of a pulse check. So on a scale of low to high, let's say from 0 to 10, physically right now, if you like, just in the chat, put in what's the level of your physical energy and maybe just find that with your hand and then give it a number. Yeah, here would be a 5, here would be a 10. You know, vital, strong, alive, 10, really not feeling so well, a 1 or a 2. Go ahead and put that in the chat if you like. And in a similar way, tune in to just the level of your mental clarity from really clear to sort of tired and fuzzy on from 0 to 10. And then emotionally, in this moment, just do a scan throughout your system and just notice, are you in a really positive and upbeat sort of mode or sort of heavy, depressed, anxious, again, on a scale of 0 to 10. And just appreciate that the main question here with this is, how do you know, as you listen into the matrix of energy and information and vibration and sensation within the mind and body, trying to discern what is true for you? What is your current reality? What are the metrics that you bring to this quality of attention and curiosity and discovery as you look within? This is a good way to get started. And as we continue, I'll kind of weave in different experiential exercises as we go along. As we continue now, I'd like you to just pause for a moment. And since each of us here, there's all the participants and the panelists, since each of us like islands rising out of the sea, each of us appearing unique, each of us having our own physical characteristics, our GPS coordinates, our uniqueness. But then sense deeply into the matrix of who you are, as though we're kind of going below the surface of ordinary appearances, into subtler and subtler and subtler realms and dimensions of our being, into the substrate that we share in the larger body of life. And just sense that you could just, you know, that all of us, in a sense, become kind of transparent as we open our awareness into that dimension of substrate and shared being and the sense of a larger body of life. And as we embark into the session together, I'd invite you for a moment just to pause. And if you like, look into your heart or touch your heart, to gently smile. And to, as you smile, just know that you know and be awake that you're awake. To really turn up the light and the brightness on your curiosity, on your openness, on your acceptance of whatever experiences may arise as we share this time together, and on the kind of awake and loving awareness that you bring to this journey. And can you sense that as you brighten that light of this indwelling, mysterious quality, you could call it mindfulness for nice secular purposes, or you could call it by many other names in other contexts. Sense that as you brighten this light of your own bright, clear awareness, that that light shines into the substrate that we share, and in a sense illuminates and is reflected in the deepest dimension of all beings. So just sense what it might be like to really experience ourselves in this embodiment conference as part of a much larger embodiment, and to hold an intention as we continue to explore together that as you brighten your participation in your own embodiment, as you wake up, as you come to greater clarity or peace or loving kindness or courage within yourself, that as you do, you can hold the intention, may those qualities of being be more accessible and more available for all beings who share this larger body of life with you. Just try that on for size. And if you have any reflections on how that image or that experience touches you, feel free to put those in the chat window. My hope and intention for this session is that each of us will come to regard our embodiment in a much more multidimensional way during this time, that we'll realize that what the body is truly mysterious, and we'll explore that in various kinds of ways. And that through coming to a deeper, more realistic experience of our embodiment, that we'll be able to inspire others to be curious about what embodiment truly means and to awaken to a deeper sense of this within themselves. The first step in this is really having the courage and the care and the curiosity to come back to ourselves again and again throughout the day. In James Joyce's book, The Dubliners, there's a great line where he says, Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body. And the invitation in this is, can we come home to ourselves? Can we come home more and more often to a deep sense of our connectedness to ourselves, rather than living a short distance from our body, being mindless and out of touch? You could say that these are very VUCA times. VUCA as in volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, and if you like, absurd at times as we look at what's going on in the world. And in these times of just mind-boggling complexity and uncertainty, having the courage to really develop our capacity to stay fully present, to be inhabiting our body, to be embracing and knowing what our thoughts and feelings and experiences may be, is a profound and noble and courageous act of revolutionary spirit, if you will. It's going against the grain of mindlessness and distraction to really show up, to smile like a Buddha and be discerning in the moment and know what's true for us. And these embodied practices that this conference is all about are so important. Part of this is because under stress or even without stress, all of us have some kind of a window of tolerance. We can handle certain degrees of complexity or intensity before we start to constrict and go into tension and stress and overwhelm and trauma. And when we go into experiences of fear, of anger or rage or even loneliness, what happens is because our nervous system is wired this way, the nervous system stops being open to being connected to our environment and goes into a self-protective mode, and we begin to other beings, and other things. We go from non-dual, open, relaxed, kind of spacious awareness into constriction and self-protection. And as we go into that othering, then the next step is to either dominate or to colonize or to take advantage of or to harm others because we don't perceive them as part of ourselves. There's a great line in a text called The Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life by the great sage Shantideva. And he says, how wonderful it would be if all beings would awaken to regard themselves as parts of a larger body of life. There's similar images in the Bible and other sacred teachings. I think as we go deep into any of the modern sciences and into quantum physics, there's this recognition that we are part of a seamless wholeness. And within that seamless wholeness, there really are no separations. So to appreciate that, learning how to just be present within our body in an open, awake, and aware manner is really the key for this. A number of years ago, Michelle, my wife, and I were invited to a special invitational conference set up by the Institute for Noetic Sciences, where we've been involved in many research projects over the last 40 years now. Edgar Mitchell and Willis Harmon, who started Noetic Sciences, were two good friends and mentors of ours. And this was a conference, a special invitational conference at Esalen, that was to explore the somatic disciplines and the somatic sciences. And there were probably about 25 people there who were kind of leading figures in somatic science at that time. This is probably in the late 80s, I think. And we spent 4 or 5 days together exploring all of these different somatic disciplines. You know, many of the people there had originated various schools of embodied practice. And at the end of 4 or 5 days, we're sitting in a circle together, looking at each other, and we're all kind of dumbfounded because we had not, during that time, been able to come to any consensus agreement with regards to what the body was. Does it end at the skin? Is it many dimensional? Is it something we share with other beings or all beings? And it was fascinating to see that we could really not agree on what the body was, what embodiment was. We left that conference at Esalen, drove up to San Jose, hopped on a plane, and flew to Tucson, Arizona for the first at that time. I think now there's been 25 or 30 years of these conferences called Towards a Scientific Understanding of the Nature of Human Consciousness. And at that conference, there were 25 or 30 Nobel laureates, probably a 1,500 people doing research in consciousness and the nature of mind. Again, we spent 4 or 5 days together. And at the end of that time, there was absolutely no consensus with regards to what the body, what the mind was. So to appreciate, this is one way to kind of grasp this, kind of literally. In one hand, reach out and embody this. Reach out with one hand and touch or hold everything that you understand and have certainty about. Okay? Reach out with a hand. And with the other hand, reach out and touch or hold everything that is still mysterious to you and that you don't completely understand. And put your hands in a gesture of the relative proportion or the balance between those. And just appreciate, no matter how deep the science is, no matter how eloquent the speaker may be, we're all dancing on the edge of the mystery. And let's do one experiential exercise and then we'll explore some images to try and comprehend this more deeply. For a moment, bring your awareness into your body and choose one of your shoulders, okay? Either your left shoulder or your right shoulder. And if you like, you can actually reach up and touch that with your other hand so that you're just clear on what the target is, okay? And then as you breathe, draw your awareness into that shoulder. And then gradually start to move your awareness, like your awareness is a spotlight, down through that shoulder into the bicep and the tricep of the upper part of the arm. It's like you're shining the light of your awareness into the many dimensions of your arm. And then just sweep that awareness, kind of moving like warm honey flowing down through that arm, down towards the elbow, sensing any vibrations or sensations or any absences at any point along the way, down through the upper part of the arm, through the elbow, into the forearm. Sweeping your awareness down through the forearm and into the wrist. And then just flowing like light and honey into that hand, feeling the vibrations and sensations in that hand. And then mindfully, one by one, just light up each of your fingers from the palm to the joint, to the joint, to the tip of the finger. Just feel the sensations and vibrations in each of your fingers, one by one. Lighting them up with the light of your awareness. And as you breathe, just let your breath just draw more light, more awareness, more aliveness into your experiential sensing, the vibrations and sensations pulsing in that hand. And then bring your awareness to your other hand and compare how the arm that you swept your awareness through, and especially the hand, feels as compared with the other arm and the other hand. And notice the difference. If you're on the screen, maybe wave your hand if you notice the difference. And if you like, in the chat window, just make a note. What's the difference between one hand and the other hand in terms of your embodied experiential sense of it? More vibration than the hand that you focused on, more heat. The one with the spotlight feels warmer, more alive somehow, feels larger. Beautiful. So as we come home to ourselves, as we occupy our bodies, it makes a profound difference in how we experience ourselves. And I'd like to just share some slides here with screen share, and we'll explore this a bit together. One of my favorite images from Autumn Sky, called The Ancestors. To just for a moment, maybe even look at your hands and see if, as you look into and you sense your hands, can you see or sense the hands of your parents in your hands? Or your grandchildren in your hands? Or your grandparents in your hands? And see that this embodiment that you are is part of this continuity, part of this lineage, this stream of DNA and pulsations and embodiments flowing through your physical genetic ancestral heritage, let alone if there were previous lifetimes or not. And to appreciate as you look at this image on the screen, let this be a mirror for you to just sense and feel, imagine, intuit the many, many dimensions of your body. And to appreciate that this embodied matrix of sensations and vibrations, both gross and subtle, the pulsations, the biochemistry, the energy, the physicality of it, that all of this is patterns of energy and vibration. And that we can, through our intention, change the flow of energy and vibration and sensation and aliveness within the body. And that every method of meditation, every method of kind of somatic awareness and embodied somatic philosophy, each different practice, you know, creates different kinds of patterns of biochemistry, impacts the energy system in different kinds of ways, develops and activates different neural circuits within the brain. You know, if you stop and think, you know, how many kinds of music are there? Or how many kinds of medicine are there? In the same way, how many kinds of meditation or mental discipline or mind training are there? It's countless. So to appreciate that as human beings, as Einstein said in this really inspiring piece, a human being is a part of the whole called by us the universe, a part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts and feelings as something separate from the rest, but this is like an optical delusion of consciousness. And this optical delusion of consciousness is kind of a prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few people nearest us. Our task in life is to free ourselves from that prison by widening the circle of our compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in all of its beauty, to, in a sense, wake up to the larger body of life that we share with all things and all beings. It's clear that we're living in a profound moment in human history where there's so much at stake. And we're standing on this threshold, especially for those of us living in the States right now. It's such a threshold moment, and this is not going to be resolved merely by an election. And to appreciate that so many of the challenges we face in our world is because of disembodied, mindless beings operating from superficial, dualistic, othering, states of consciousness that are destroying our world, that are destroying our own bodies, that are devastating to continue and are completely unsustainable. And as Einstein said, we shall require a substantially new manner of thinking and a substantially higher level of consciousness and deeper embodiment if humanity is to survive. So the principle here that I'm trying to bring forth is reflected in this beautiful quote from Dogo Kenzi Rinpoche, where he says, the more you listen, the more you will hear. And the more you hear, the more and more deeply you will understand. Ed Deming, who was Mr. Total Quality Management, he was into measuring just about everything to improve productivity and efficiency. Even Ed Deming said probably only 3% of what's important can be measured. And the other 97% is elusive and beyond our capacity to measure. If we look at the electromagnetic spectrum, the tiny, tiny part that we call visible light, if we had, let's say, energy spectrum that spread across the United States, let's say from Santa Monica to New York City, the part of the vibrational spectrum that we can see with our eyes would be about as wide in that distance as a quarter. And all of the other energies and vibrations woven into the measurable fabric of reality would be all the rest of that distance. We live on the Big Island of Hawaii much of the year. We have a learning center there and a permaculture farm. We spend a lot of time with the cosmologists there. And it's very frequent that in their talks, they'll point out that we can only measure 4% of the whole universe, 4%. And the other 96% is mysterious. We call it dark energy and dark matter, but we can't measure it, and we're not really sure what it is. So for a moment, maybe again, look back at your hands, or if there's a mirror handy, look across the room at the mirror and just see yourself or sense yourself and just envision and sense that what you see and hear and taste and can measure of this embodiment, that only 4% of that is measurable. And just envision, what is that other 96% that connects you to everything and everyone? And of the 4% that we can measure, it's fascinating to appreciate that only 0.04% of what we can measure is actually material, like bodies and planets and suns. The rest of it's like light and gas blowing between the solar systems and the galaxies. So just for a moment, just go into the dimension of your embodied experience. Smile as you just sort of sense the space that you inhabit of sensations and vibrations, a sky-like awareness in which thoughts and images and feelings come and flow. And just for a moment, like smiling with this mysterious, boundless, sky-like awareness, just hold the question, who am I? What am I? Where do I end and the rest of the universe begin? I love this image. It's from one of the wind current channels. This is the, on the left-hand side here is the East Coast of America. And on the right side, there's Spain and Portugal and the Sweden and Norway up here, UK. And these are different storm systems. And just envision each of these different storm systems as a person, as an identity, as somebody who's me-ing within the great ocean of we and we. And sense that even with each breath we take or receive, we breathe from the commons. Those energies flow into us. They form us. They become a part of us. And as we breathe out, those energies flow back into the breathosphere, where into the commons that is shared with all breathing beings who have ever breathed on this planet or who will ever breathe again. And that ultimately appreciate, you know, the body will have its completion. It will go back into the earth. Those energies will disintegrate and recycle, and it's on with the flow. So again, who or what are we as embodied beings? What does this mean? And for Sarah, our tech person, just a question. I don't see myself on the screen. I'm assuming for your recording that everybody else is seeing me on the screen. So
we can see you, yes.
Okay, that's great. The reality check. And for the,
right
people, for the people that are on the screen with your names visible, I'd love to see your faces. So if you're willing to just have your presence be here, then I don't have to talk to your name. Thank you so much. And anybody else who might pop in. So just a few reflections here, and then we'll open it up and explore together if there's any questions. My own kind of somatic biography is, as a friend once asked me, Joel, how old were you when you got activated? I think we were at an earth dance up in Vancouver and we were dancing together. And how old were you when you got activated? And I said, about 15, you know. It's like I lettered on the Frisbee team, and it's the late 60s, which needless to say was a colorful time to go to high school and into early college days. And when I was 15, 16 years old, I started meditating and doing yoga, exploring energy work, and wondering, what is this stuff that kind of flows like sparks between my fingers? And how can I get my body into all these like yogic postures and stuff? And I'm 67 now, and I'm still as on fire trying to figure it out as I was when I was 15 or 16. You know, it's like I have been on full time exploring these dimensions through contemplative practices, through Qigong and Tai Chi and energy medicine. I ran a consciousness laboratory at the University of Washington and glued sensors on the skulls of countless beings involved in exploring various states of consciousness, and did a lot of work with neurohacking and biofeedback and neurofeedback, just teaching people that every function within the body, every part of the body, if we can establish a feedback loop with that, we can learn to influence and control what's going on there. If we put a sensor on a fingertip, we can learn to warm or cool that fingertip. If we're measuring brain waves and we give people feedback on the different neural states, we can learn how to nudge our influence into having more of those states of consciousness and states of brain that we want to have. But when you go deep into the research, like the research done in the engineering department at Princeton University, for over 30 years, they had people not only controlling their own skin temperature and blood flow and brain waves, they had people interacting with other people's bodies in distant places that they were getting feedback on when their mind reached out to those bodies, and had people interacting with computer displays and random number generators in electromagnetically shielded rooms in distant places. And if the operators who were extending their awareness into those regions were able to get feedback on what was going on in those other bodies or those other distant systems, through that feedback and through applied intention and awareness reaching out to them, the operators were able to create changes in those distant fields of experience, changing the operation of the computers, changing the cellular function in petri dishes. And the way that those operators would describe how that worked was exactly the same as one of my patients in the pain clinic that I ran and the stress clinic that I ran, exactly the same way that those operators would describe how somebody would change their own blood pressure, would bring their blood pressure from way up here to down here, or would be able to warm, vasodilate their blood vessels to let more blood flow into the hand and increase the temperature. So that the implications of this is that everything is part of our body. Everyone is part of our body. And that through refining our awareness, our deep listening, through dissolving the structures of consciousness that are reinforced through the self-narrative and within what's called the default mechanism network within the brain, that's constantly going, how am I looking? How many likes do I have? Am I good enough? Yakety yakety yak, me, 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 mine, 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 separate me and that, this and that. When we learn how to quiet that down and go into more unitive and non-dual states of consciousness, not only can we sweep our awareness from our elbow to our fingertips, and more fully inhabit the body that's inside the bag of our skin, but that we end in the same kind of way, in the same kind of intimacy, that we have access to other beings who we share the larger body of life with. So what is this embodiment conference really all about? Try and fathom this. And I speak as an explorer, you know, somebody who's just through every means that I've been able to over the last 67 years, trying to fathom this. I hope if nothing else, you'll leave this session with a great sense of curiosity and humility. So let's see if there's any questions, any things or the themes that you'd like to explore related to comments I may have made. You can raise a hand in the by clicking on the participants, I think, or you can put in the chat window. And if everybody's just on stun, I will ramble on. So, Song, you've usually got a question.
I actually do, but I just wanted to get set up here to be able to.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
I just really appreciate you bringing up the topic of how much we really don't know, in the real sense with the scientific data. And what I really love about that information and for you to, that exercise of connecting to our own physical body and how it is, it stems from like our history, like our hands, maybe very much like our grandparents, or, and perhaps it's the same as our grandchildren. I just love that physical sense of like a timelessness that's very mysterious. And how the conferences are also realizing as they're trying to explore the true definition of what is a body and what is a mind, and how that falls into that, oh, we don't really know. I really appreciated that. I guess the question is, what do we do with that information?
Yeah, I think, you know, living with a state of curiosity, if you left here with nothing else, is a simple but powerful meme to appreciate how important curiosity is. It keeps the mind open. It, you know, the tendency is, oh, I know who that is. And you just blow it off, or you just kind of live in your kind of cardboard two-dimension, you know, projection of who or what somebody is, rather than, wow, you know, here's a way to practice, okay? You wake up in the morning, first moment of the day that you're awake, embody that awareness, kind of go, wow, I'm awake, and I know that I'm awake, you know, and just give a hoot or give a stretch or wiggle your toes. And then maybe turn your mind to gratitude for a moment. Just, wow, another day. And count your blessings. You know, how many parts of your body are still working? How many teeth are not aching? You know, just really, you know, fill yourself with some fuel of gratitude. With nothing else, will just calibrate your bloodstream with really good neuropeptides. And then for a moment, stop and listen for what's the intention that you want to carry into the day. You know, what's your prayer? What's your highest aspiration for living this day? And listen for your guidance on this. Is it to be more kind? Is it to be more courageous? Is it to show up more fully? Is it to be more humble? And ideally, do all this before you get out of bed. And absolutely before you pick up your devices and you start wonking around with these, you know, it's a way to, in a sense, declare your sovereignty over these widgets, you know, to log on to your own primary operating system, to be an embodied, awake, grateful, intentional human being, okay? And then walk into the bathroom and look in the mirror and go, who are you? You know, and just giggle at yourself and just start your day with that kind of cantankerous, humble, like on fire, kind of like, gosh, I'm still trying to figure out who that person in the mirror is, you know? And then just carry on into the day, staying true to the intention that you hold. But this quality of curiosity, we were in the lab with Judson Brewer when he was back at Princeton. Judson's, you know, I think he might be part of the conference, really a brilliant researcher of addictions and contemplative practice. And Judson, you know, really helped me appreciate just how the quality of curiosity just helps all the different parts of the brain hook up with each other, rather than getting localized, rather than just kind of like neural clenching and old habits asserting themselves. curiosity keeps the mind open. We were actually back at Princeton trying out a neurofeedback device that Judson had put together that was teaching people how to quiet the activity in the parts of the brain that keep us in states of consciousness where we feel separate from other beings and other things, and to quiet that selfing part of the brain to go into states of non-dual awareness. Is actually creating a neurofeedback device that would give you feedback when you were like revving up your selfing and energizing the default mechanism network, and when you were amping it down. And it's just fascinating thing. But just the sense of, here's a way to understand the curiosity a little bit more. If wellness, kind of scientifically defined as a state of integration, and the state of integration is where all of the differentiated parts of a system are linked with each other so that energy and information flows between those parts of the system without interference, you know, without inflammation, without blockage. So look at the body, all these different organs. You've got tongue and larynx and teeth and heart and lungs and kidneys. So they all need to be differentiated. They all need to be doing their thing, but they all need to be linked so that energy and information and juice and blood and air can flow through those in an optimal way without blockages, without constrictions. So that as we learn how within ourselves to be differentiated, to really know ourselves in our ordinary relative kind of way and appreciate other relative individuals, but also within a linked non-dual field of awareness where there's at least a sense of connection and energy and information can flow between us, the degree to which we are able to do that determines the health and vitality of the system, be it a body, a close relationship, a family or an organization or a society. And the moment we go into overwhelm and lockdown and our traumas get triggered, then our neurological resources shut down, we stop linking and we go into differentiating, and then we start othering, and then we start harming and hurting and exploiting and colonizing, and then the whole thing goes down the crapper. So the more we can do to just come into our wholeness, open the field of our awareness to embrace our joys and our sorrows and our light and our darkness and our pleasure and our pain and our clear and our fuzzy, and just bring that into the wholeness of our being, then the more likely it is that we will be able to be available to be attuned and sensitive and empathic with others and respond with creative compassion. So there's a few ideas kind of stimulated by your question. Thank you, Sog. Awesome. Any other question? Actually, there's one here. What happens to the default when the default mode goes quiet? We experience ourselves, and the latter part of it is that idea about curiosity as integrative function from Dan Siegel or where. So Dan's one of our friends and teachers. I really so respect his work with interpersonal neurobiology. Brilliant body of work, and one of the disciplines that's informed my own worldview the most. Dan talks about going from me to we. To we, where we're differentiated, but we're part of this larger identity together, we. Curiosity, I haven't heard Dan talk so much about, though he has an acronym that is COAL, C-O-A-L, which is a good guideline for practicing mindfulness. And the C is curiosity. And the O is openness, A, acceptance, and the L, loving awareness. So as a general guideline, to be more Cole or Cola, curious, open, accepting, and loving awareness, to go green with it, if you will, is a really good guideline for how to practice mindfulness. So see if there's any other questions.
Joel, we have a question in the Q&A.
Yeah.
I can read it out to you. So the question is, how can we bring more awareness to this information into the general public and even within our schools?
Wow. By embodying it, by being just such a blazing, inspiring embodiment of this work that people say, wow, I want to be like Rachel or Song or Melissa or Marta, you know, to really be a source of inspiration through your own humility and your own embodiment of this work. In that spirit, I'll share my screen. There's a beautiful sequence here that I really love that's in the slides. And with regards to education, that's so important. We're working on a project. let me see. Can I stop at this? We're working on a project called the Curriculum for Life. And the Curriculum for Life is designing a program. Part of the vision for it is that within 10 years, 1 billion people might go through this program. Schools. To supplement like the STEM education, the science and technology oriented education. And if anybody's interested in that, please get in contact with us and happy to keep you posted on this. It's a fantastic project and it's being supported and funded by friends at Oxford. We're really excited about this. So let me share, this sequence of slides that comes from our dear friend, Alex Gray, which I think is a beautiful kind of image to kind of move towards closing this up with. On the beginning of the path, we leave the shadow stuff, the old bottles and syringes, and we head off, you know, leaving behind those traumas and addictions in search of the rising light of a new dawn. And here the seeker comes on the bones of an old yogi. And there's a sacred text there marked with the syllable, ah. And as he touches that, his aura lights up. There's a sense of being in touch with something really powerful and potent. So he takes that text and he starts to embody the teachings, to practice those, and then the process to align and attune to a larger field of universal consciousness. And through that attunement, that field of universal consciousness begins to kind of fractalize, and there's this sense of just the harmonics of that, and that becomes embodied and integrated in the deepest way, leading one to then move out into this magical and exquisite universe of luminosity and complexity as a blazing source of goodness and strength and inspiration for all that you meet along the way. So to appreciate, you know, there are millions of disciplines that we might practice, you know, that are working primarily with the mind, which all have a physical and an energetic component. And all of the somatic and movement disciplines all have a quality of attention and mind element that we bring to it. That, you know, each of us are drawn to different kinds of practices. And each of these kinds of practices is going to open our wisdom eyes to really regard ourselves and all beings in a deeper, more realistic, more multidimensional kind of way. So, yeah, maybe if there's one brief question that might be explored.
There is a brief question from Larissa. How can we teach our children and those around us about the importance of energy flow within and outside of us?
Oh, that's such a beautiful question. I'll start with breathing. There's this, just beautiful sense that, teach your children to appreciate that as you breathe, you're breathing each other's air, what you breathe out is coming up your child's nose and you're breathing in their breath as well, that you're breathing with all the trees and all the green growing beings and to just, use the breath as a way to do that. And then maybe just holding hands together, and just moving them and seeing, can you feel anything there? Having them close their eyes and gently maybe move your fingertips over their palm and see if they can feel that, or tell when your hand is over their hand or not, and begin to listen into that and develop this exquisite sense of energetic sensitivity. Those are some ways that you could start with that. It's just, I could talk about those realms of awareness for hours here if we had the time. I'd like to just share one slide as we're moving towards closing. My screen share doesn't seem to be working. So maybe that doesn't work when you're on, Rachel, I'm not sure. Maybe just share the links that I put in with people. That'll be sufficient, I think.
I'll stop my video so that.
Okay. Okay, there. Let's try this again. So we have an email list and we send out a daily inspiration. Can people see that slide on the screen or not? I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it either.
Okay. So if you like, if you'd like to stay in touch, I think our techies will put in some links to stay in touch with me. We send out a daily inspiration, and we've also been hosting during this COVID time gatherings 4 times a week online, which have just been fantastic. There's some of our friends on the call here, Marta and Song and some others. You're more than welcome to join those. It's by donation. And our emails just are a nice way to stay in touch and know what we're doing. So email is Levy, L-E-V-E-Y, at wisdom@work, all spelled out, .com. It's in the chat window there. The YouTube channel also has a lot of other talks that I've given and given with Michelle that may be of interest. Please, if this is at all of interest, reach out, stay in touch, send a question. Take anything that you've learned today to heart and live it. And I'd invite, as we're going into closing, if there's a jewel or something that was meaningful for you from this time, something you'd like to remember, if you could just give a shout out to those ideas in the chat, just as a way of review, that would be awesome. I'd really appreciate that. And I have one thing I want to do for about a minute before we close. So Rachel, if you want to do any closing comments and then we'll do that at the end, that would be great.
Well, thank you very much, Joel. This has been inspirational, phenomenal. I personally feel very humbled to be in your presence, as I'm sure all our participants are as well. Thank you very much for presenting about wisdom at work. And thank you very much to the Embodiment Conference for hosting this webinar amongst many other webinars. If you'd like to purchase this or all of the webinar series, please go to the website that Sarah Pepes will share. We also have Facebook groups and the Embodiment Conference Facebook channel for you to continue the connection. Yes, we've shared the upgrade portal for you to upgrade your account. And I'm going to pass it over to you, Joel, for your one more thing, as well as your top tip to be embodied.
Uh-huh. My top tip to be embodied are those guidelines for waking up in the morning. Awake that you're awake, grateful, and then clarify your intention that you want to carry into the day. That's a good top tip. And as we conclude here, I'd invite everybody, just breathe for a moment, just gather in all the inspiration from this session, like waves of light that just fill you up and bring you a glow, and then share that glow, radiate it and dedicate it to anyone or any place in the world or any groups of beings, all beings. Let this goodness and this light and this inspiration flow from your heart into all beings who share the larger body of life with you as an activation of their own inner potential to be fully embodied in their full and complete dimensions, shared by all things and all beings. Let's carry this light with us as we go on to on into our days. Thank you all for showing up. May this light and this inspiration flow with you as your journey continues.